I'm going to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 13, and just for your information, last week we talked about the meaning of the night. It has a spiritual meaning, and we're going to do part two here today, also on the night. And there's so much more we could do. We could go on for days about this, but I think this should be sufficient. I'm going to start in verse 8 because it sort of brings us into context, but we're not really looking at it until we get down to about 11. Owe to no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Yeah, we were singing about love here this morning, weren't we? Love grew where the blood fell. Amen. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, now that's the context where we go next. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we've talked about this in the past, about waking out of slumber and not being found in a state of stupor, a spiritual drunkenness. We've talked about that before. We're not going to go over that again. Take note also here that our salvation, amen, is nearer than when we first believed. So if you're going to have a doctrine of salvation, you have to include this verse. This understanding that the apostles had, that salvation is not a complete and one-time thing that lasts forever and ever and there's nothing more you have to do. Okay? Yes. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accept the blood just like the thief on the cross, you die within an hour, you're going to have eternal life. Amen. But if you're going to continue to live, amen, which God will give you more life, your salvation isn't finished. Your salvation is a lifelong process that finishes when your life finishes, or the day of the Lord. So now is our salvation near. So not So the Word of God is saying something more than that too. He's saying that there's a fulfillment of salvation coming with the very end of time. In other words, the coming of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God coming to take dominion over all this earth is also the fulfillment and the finality of our salvation. And I believe this is what Paul is saying here. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Okay, so it means all of these things. Amen. Now, let's get into the night. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This is spiritual language again, amen? This is not just talking about a natural night. But he makes the comparison here is that that we are in a period of darkness. We are in a period of night. And this night has been lasting quite a long time. Paul wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago, okay? So there was night then, and he's saying that the night is far spent. All right. Now this is a word of prophecy. A prophetic word has no limit to a time that it should be applied to. In other words, this is not just a word to say, oh well, this applied to something that was going on. The Romans were persecuting them. They were killing Christians. What have you? It was a terrible night. That night is far spent. The day is at hand. No, it applies today. in the year 2017, in the month of October the 1st, as it is today. That is true today. The night is far spent. What night? What kind of night are we talking about? The darkness of men's souls. My goodness, I don't recall that I have ever seen such darkness in the hearts and souls of men as I'm seeing today. Every excuse that man has, he will rise up in violence and rebellion and demonstration against this, demonstration against that. My goodness, I could never imagine the things that people could demonstrate against that they're doing today. And this is stirring up a lot of anger. It's stirring up a lot of feelings, and it's the souls of men that are being revealed as being in this night time, in this dark period of time. Amen. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. What is the meaning of the day being at hand? The day is the day of the Lord. The day is the brightness of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. We keep going back to that verse in Isaiah. The gross darkness. Darkness covered the earth. Gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon the earth. Amen. And the thing is, the light that is in us is what's going to overcome the darkness. Now, where do we get light? How do we manifest light? Amen. Rita should certainly know that. She's been listening to Brother Tajoki and the messages he's been bringing about oil. Amen. How do we have light? What is the source? The source is oil. What is oil? Oil is the life of the Spirit within us. Amen. If you have the Spirit of God, if you are allowing the Spirit of God to take over, to burn off the dross in your life, to allowing that oil to burn, allowing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then you have light that's coming forth from you. Amen. So let us put off the works of darkness. You know what all those works of darkness are. Amen. And let us put on the armor of light. Maybe we'll go to Ephesians and look that up in a minute. All right, so let us walk honestly as in the day. In other words, this is day versus night. Let us walk as in the light. By the way, I don't know if you've ever been to a saloon or a bar. I hope you'll tell me you've never been there. But maybe you did way back in your past when you didn't know any better. I remember the first time I ever went into one. Eventually, I had to go into them to do my work as a public health nurse. But I began to notice that, first of all, they run their business mostly at night. Okay, you don't usually find them opening up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, to catch the early bird or the early worm or whatever it is. No, that's not the kind of clientele. When do they open? When do they run their big business? At night, usually after dark. And you go in there, no, I'm not saying you should go in there, but I noticed that you go into a nice office and they have these fluorescent lights burning, you know, so everybody can do their job. You don't find fluorescent lights burning in those places. You might find some dim little light somewhere in the back, you know, where you kind of stumble around, bump into one another. You don't really know where you're going. This is why? Because it is a manifestation of the spiritual darkness that's going on in those places. Amen? What does the word say? Men love what? Darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So when you're going into these places, people don't want all the light on the carrying on of their evil deeds that they're working on in these places. Amen? Okay. So those are the works of darkness. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. Oh my goodness. How many times does the Bible tell us not to be involved in rioting? And yet sometimes Christians think they have a right to get out in the streets and riot. This is not the word of God, brethren. not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. We talked about that, I think it must have been 6 months ago or something. We defined all these words. Amen? All right. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What does that mean in practicality? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on. That means what? You have put off the old man, amen. You've put off the nature of the old man. You've put on the nature of Christ, just like you put on a jacket, amen. You are covered with Jesus Christ. You have taken off your covering of darkness, amen. And make no provision for the flesh. Now, let's suppose your problem of your flesh is that you're involved in some kind of drugs. I don't know. Name one. Doesn't matter. But you're involved in some kind of drugs. Okay? You have a little secret phone number. I used to say you carry them in your wallet, but I guess people don't carry phone numbers in their wallet anymore. They carry them in their phone. I could have never imagined that 30 years ago, that your whole life and history is carried in that little box, that little electronic box. So anyway, you have the phone number of your drug dealer in there. Okay, so you get saved. You say you're going to put on Christ, but what? But you don't destroy that phone number. You keep that phone number, right? It's the same thing. Anything. You can apply it to... man is having an illicit relationship with a woman. Break it off. Repent. Oh, still got her phone number. Why? What is it all about? Making provision for the flesh. Well, just suppose my flesh really needs that again. I can go back there and wallow again in the pig pen, get dirty and get smelly and all that. No, you're making provision for the flesh. Now, you can apply it to anything you want that you want to get rid of, you want to purge out of your life. Don't make any provision to go back into it. Don't keep any accoutrements. All right. If I remember in the past, we've prayed for people that have had a problem with cigarettes. Okay. Well, I want God to deliver me from the nicotine spirit. Okay, we pray for you. God does a miraculous thing. Well, what's that still in your pocket? Well, I've only got two or three left. I just want to, I might as well not waste them. Viola, you're going to be right back. Why? Because you're making provision for the flesh.
It takes an inner working, though, in the soul, because I know I struggled many years ago.
Yeah.
And I have to do a work in me also.
It's not just an external work. It's an inner work, then. Yeah, thank you for adding that. I don't know. I've never had that problem, so I can't really understand except from hearing other people. I guess that's how the cloud of witnesses works. They watch us overcome things that they never accomplished themselves, but from second hand they can see how we overcome. All right, let me go on. Make no provision to fill the lust. Okay, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 5, and I just want to read a couple verses here to tie in with what we're talking about. 5 verse 8, okay. But ye were sometimes darkness. Mm-hmm. You were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So this is the other fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, darkness is going to produce some kind of fruit. Light is going to produce some kind of fruit. Something is going to be produced in your life. It will manifest, all right? I'm not going to judge you by what you look like, amen? But we will judge you. What kind of a tree are you because of what kind of fruit you're producing? Now, if you just go around and say you're just a wonderful little saint and all that, and you're producing rotten fruit, I'm going to have to conclude that what's coming out of your mouth is not what's really going on. You're a hypocrite. You're making statements about things that are not true. I see the fruit that is coming off of you, and it doesn't taste good. Amen? Or it tastes good. Yes, let's do the positive thing too. Now, where did I leave off? Okay. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Two more verses. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Amen. So we're talking about sleeping here. We're talking about darkness. The word of God is saying it's even in a place of death. If you're asleep, if you're in darkness, you're in a place of death. So rise from that dead. Amen? You know that God can resurrect you from the dead. Amen? Even if you're not physically dead, you're spiritually dead. And that's the resurrection that we need right now. Amen? All right, let me go to 2 Peter. My goodness, this is a lot of rich stuff. Maybe we got more than I thought here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Where shall we begin? This is so good. I got to start at the beginning. Let's start in verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. What's happening in our day? Scoffers, people walking after their own lusts. What is lust? Your own desires. Doing whatever I want to do. No man will tell me. No preacher will tell me. No religion will tell me. No word will tell me what I have to do. I do what I want to do. See, this is the mindset of people today. You can do anything you want to do. In fact, that's what they're teaching kids in the school. On the one hand, that's a good thing. You know, you can accomplish. But just to say you can do whatever you want to do, I think is also a dangerous thing to be taught. Amen? So, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And again, that is man's thinking. So many times, I mean, I don't think a day goes by that I don't sit and contemplate and say, Lord, where is the day of your coming? When is this all going to come? How much longer are we going to have to put up with this darkness? Amen? But my thinking is not saying it isn't going to happen. My saying is, Lord, can it happen now? Can you bring it on, Lord? Amen? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out in the water, and in the water, we're talking about the flood of Noah, or perhaps even before that, at creation, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now that is spiritual fire. that is a spiritual fire. Amen? Not just, God isn't necessarily going to allow this earth to be burned to a pile of ashes. Okay? But there's a spiritual fire. And the fiery trial, we're going to have to go through that fiery trial. Because it's going to have to burn earth out of me too. Carnality. Earth means carnal nature. Amen? My beloved, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Yes, we need to be reminded of that, don't we? Amen. No, God is not late. He's not behind the times. Everything is working in perfect unison. There are some who need to be saved. There are some who need to be changed. There are some, if He did not delay a little bit, would miss out on their calling. There are some who would not have the opportunity to become sons of God. God knows the perfect time to pull the curtain down, so to speak. Amen. That's a figure of speech. Amen. But is long suffering to usward. That's an interesting to usward, toward us. Amen. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, isn't that interesting? We would say that all should come to salvation. We say that sometimes, don't we? And it's okay, but this I find it very interesting that this is what Peter says. Peter says, come to repentance. Amen? So in other words, it's not just making a confession, but it's making a change. Repentance means people need to change. And this is very difficult, as Sister just pointed out here a few minutes ago. It is very, very difficult to change. Our soul does not want to change. Our physical body does not want to change. We get into a place of comfort. We don't want to be moved. Don't rock my boat. Don't upset the status quo. Amen. But the day of the Lord, all right, now here we're coming into some darkness here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now notice it does not say as a thief in the daytime. Amen? You have two words here. Notice this. You have the word day, and you have the word night. And you say, wait a minute, is it going to be day or is it going to be night? No, the meaning of it is, the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour period of time. It's not a 12-hour period of time. The day of the Lord it can be a very lengthy period of time. I don't know how long this great and terrible day of the Lord is going to be. I know one thing, that it's going to be at least 3.5 years. I suspect that there are things coming up to this great and terrible tribulation day that are also going to be included in what we call the day of the Lord. Okay? The day of the Lord is the day that the Lord begins to manifest, amen, His judgment in the earth. I'm wondering if He's not already beginning to manifest that. I'm wondering what some of these storms and earthquakes and all this are all about. If it isn't the Lord beginning to manifest something. Oh, Brother Mark, you shouldn't say that. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Because historically, this has been the case from the Word of God. All right, so the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's how does a thief come in the night? Secretly. Yeah. In other words, the thief does not send you an email the day before saying, I'd like to show up at your house tonight about 2 a.m. I'll be breaking in, you know. No, he doesn't send you a notice. He doesn't send you a postcard, you know, your local thief, you know. No. He comes when you are not expecting it. And this is the whole idea of the thief in the night. I don't know when a thief is going to come.
It doesn't always come in the front door. He goes through the back door.
He'll go through the back door. He'll climb through the basement window. He'll get in any way he can get in. And he might even try to wait until you're not there. In other words, you're not going to be alert and watching. You will be asleep. What would you do? I've asked you this question before. What would you do if you knew that a thug was coming to break into your house at a certain time, a certain day? What would you do? Well, okay, you'd call the police, but the police would say, "Well, he hasn't done it yet. We ain't going to come until somebody just some rumor that somebody's coming. No, we ain't going to spend our no." But you know what you would do?
You would be ready with a weapon in your hand.
You would be ready. You would call your cousins all together. You must have some good, healthy cousins, don't you? Some pretty healthy guys, you know, that would be able to fight this thing off. Yeah. Your uncle, you know, or whoever, you get your family together, people that love you and care for you, and they would all be standing around with baseball bats and shotguns or whatever they're going to have, you know. Ain't nobody going to break in here, you know. And no, the thief would not break in. But you see, what Jesus is saying through Peter, this is Jesus talking, and Jesus said this very clearly too, when he spoke directly. He said, "No man knows the day or the hour." But then he said, "In such an hour as ye think not." So how do we overcome this? We overcome this by thinking every day, this could be the day of the Lord.
Be ready.
This is the day I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to let thorns of hate and no. When I feel that thorn wanting to grow in my heart, I say, "Whoa, wait a minute, stop. The blood of Jesus, I'm not going to go there. I am not going to feed that thing. I am not going to have those feelings toward that person. I am not going to have those thoughts toward that person." It doesn't matter what the thoughts. It isn't just thoughts of hatred. It's thoughts of carnality, thoughts of lust, whatever they are. I'm not going to allow it to grow. And that is, you are keeping this by the oil in your soul. You are keeping it by the life of the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing that is going to make the difference between a wise virgin and a foolish virgin. Amen? So, a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Do you believe that the whole universe is going to go and disappear?
No.
When it says the heavens will pass away, we are talking about the spiritual realm of darkness. Satan's influence in the spirit realm is going to end with a crash. It says the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That is a resounding crash. I don't know what it sounded like when the Twin Towers fell. I'll bet it was an awful noise.
Terrible.
I'll bet it was a terrible noise.
Very terrible.
Yeah, it must have been a horrible thing.
It was.
And you know, I believe what Peter is saying here is a greater noise than that. And you know, I really believe that this noise. I'm gonna read you a dream that I had almost 30 years ago when I finished here. It is a terrible thing. I had almost forgotten it, and I found it just the other day. And I said, "Oh, I've got to share that dream with you." But it is a terrible, terrible sight. We cannot see in the spirit realm as clearly as God knows. And this is what God revealed to me. He showed me something in the spirit realm, and I was just absolutely terrified. But let me read on here. "With a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Now, the elements melting, come on. This is not the chart of the elements that you learned in chemistry. Did any of you have to learn that in chemistry? Helium, oxygen, hydrogen, you know, element one, element two. How many took a little bit of chemistry? Well, you know what I mean by elements, don't you? Yeah, this is not that. This is not what that means. Look up the word, look up the Greek word. I'll tell you what it means. It means, it's stoichon. It comes from stoicho. It means to conform to a line as to keep rank or step, military march, orderly in arrangement, a serial of fundamental, elementary, rudimentary things. What is that a picture of? It's the army. Yeah, it's an army. It's the army of Satan. The army of Satan, lockstep. And you know, Satan has lockstep control over the governments of this earth. One is a little different than another, but Satan is still in control. And you don't break in to that system. I mean, he's got it down right down to the local level. You wanna run for dog catcher? You probably have to get in with the good old boys first before you could even run. Let's say you decide you want to be a councilman. You're not in the club. I would never be able to just say, well, I think today I'll decide to run for the school board president. It never happened. The club is all set. Everything is in lockstep. And, you know, I'm thinking out loud. This is just, thus saith Mark. I'm wondering if this man that came in to be president, that one of the things that is upsetting the world so badly is that he somehow got in without being in that lockstep of the system. And I think it is. And you know, maybe I'll talk about this some other time, but I got thinking about Jehu. Jehu got appointed by God to break down the system. Ahab and Jezebel had the system all locked up. And God chose a wild man Jehu. And he told, was it Elijah? Forget which one. One of the last things, go and anoint Jehu to be king. All right, I'm not going to talk about Jehu all day, but a wild man. A wild, reckless man. I mean, he would just, anything God told him to do, he'd just go ahead and do it, and nobody could stop him. I'm just wondering if we're in those days. That's just a little tidbit here. It's not thus saith the Lord. Okay, so we're coming on here. It says, these elements, these elementary, rudimentary, lockstep army of Satan is going to melt because of the heat. God is going to put the heat on it, and it's just going to melt. Amen. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, you see, people get the idea that sometimes this whole earth is going to be on fire. It's going to flame, you know, the forest fires burning in San Francisco, California, Florida, whatever, you know, New York. All on fire. Not necessarily. See, you're thinking natural. When it says earth, remember, the earth has a spiritual language. Earth means the carnality. And you say, well, Brother Mark, no. No, wait a minute. And it says works. How are you going to burn works? Natural. How are you going to have a fire and burn works? We build a fire out here in the front. Okay? Everybody bring your works in now. We're going to burn them. Come on. That has to be a spiritual language. I can't bring... I don't know. Give me some works that are not good, that need to be burnt. Thievery. Okay. Come on, give me some names.
School.
What did you say?
School.
Yeah.
School. You're right.
Well, yes, there's something to be said about the evil of these school systems. Amen. Yes, there is. Amen. Greed. Greed. What?
Lust.
Lust. Yeah. Now, you're going to come out to a bonfire and throw your greed and your lust and all that in the fire? Come on, you can't do that in the natural. It has to be spiritual. So burn your addictions up, amen, that are contrary to God. Burn your alcoholism up, whatever it is. Works of darkness, amen. No, this is spiritual language. All right, so let me go on now to Joel. Brother Joel, we're going to go to the Old Testament for a minute. Amen. Well, you know, before we go there, I've got to pick up a couple more verses here in Peter. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. See, there's another word. Dissolved. Dissolve means to loosen, to break up, to destroy, to melt, to put off. To put off. Put off the old man. Dissolve. And I like the word loose. You know, sometimes we pray for you and we want to deliver you of a certain spirit. And maybe we just say, loose, loose, in the name of Jesus. That is, what we're saying is this thing has to be melted off. It has to be burnt to the point where it loses its hold on you. So, to say loose is not just necessarily a carnal thing to say, or a religious thing, okay? You're agreeing with the Word of God. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Boy, Peter is really preaching holiness, isn't he? Amen? Looking for and hasting unto. What is that hasting unto? Hastening. Running toward. How did David approach Goliath?
He ran towards him.
He hastened toward him. David was not shrinking back, you know, like he was backing up, trying to... No, when he knew what God was going to do to that giant. And he knew it. He was so strong in his faith that what God was going to do, that he hastened with a... And he wanted to get closer so he could get a better shot at him. He wasn't shrinking back and hiding behind some trees or anything like that. Hasting, amen. Hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. I think we've read far enough into that one now. You know what that means. Remember, these prophetic words are spiritual language. All right, let's go to Brother Joel in the Old Testament. Prophet Joel. I always say it Joel, but somebody tells me I should say Joel, because I think that's the... The suffix L means what?
God.
It means God. So I should say it as Joel. All right, so Brother Joel, chapter 2. And I'm going to read various sections of Joel here. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness. See, here's the darkness. Not just because there's lots of clouds. Not just because the sun has set. He says a day of darkness, okay? It's a time period, amen? A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. Do you know what that picture really means? As the morning spread upon the mountains? If you don't live out in the country where I live, you probably wouldn't know what that means. On days like this, Okay, when there's been a sudden change of temperature, you're aware of what we're talking about. You come down out of the higher mountains, down into the valleys, and it's just full of fog. Up where I am this morning, the sun was shining bright. And this was last Sunday as well. And lots of days these past 2 weeks. If you come down out of the hills a little bit, the hills are just full of fog. You can't see. You have to turn your lights on. You can't see if there's a car ahead of you or coming behind you hardly. And I think this is what Joel is talking about in the natural. He's saying that this is what the spiritual condition is going to be. Amen. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now listen to this and tell me, this is not a good army. This is a destructive force that God is turning loose. This is something like the loosing of the angels at the river Euphrates, fallen angels, amen, Islamic hordes. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. That sounds pretty destructive, doesn't it? Yeah, it does to me. I'm going to read no further. Let me go on now to verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. Now, we know what a natural earthquake is like. What Joel is saying here by the Holy Spirit is the carnal realm, your carnal realm, my earth, your earth, is going to go through a terrible shaking. You don't believe me, do you? No, we have a hard time believing it. I hardly believe what I'm saying, and yet I know it's true. My earth is going to be shaken, and I don't want my earth shaken. I don't like it shaken. Amen? The earth shall quake and tremble before them. The heavens shall tremble. That's my spiritual realm. It's going to tremble also. Amen. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. That's the spiritual influence. There's just not going to be much of a positive spiritual influence because the darkness is going to be so strong. I see it coming, brethren. I see it happening. I see it happening day by day. Turn the radio on. Hear another event. It's happening. And one more verse. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now, what we have here is we have a turn of events. Not everybody believes what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it. I believe the first part of this is the devil's army. Starting in verse 11 is God's army. And I had a vision of that too about the same time that I had this dream. God's army, he says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Amen. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Yes, the Lord's army is going to rise up and it's going to stop this wicked, destroying army of the devil. It's going to put an end to it. Now, we're still in Joel. Go to verse 30. See, I'm skipping around. You need to read the whole thing. Amen. Oh, let's start in verse 28. It is so good. It is so good. Amen. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. How about that, Linda? Your daughters, your granddaughters. Amen. Rita. Amen. All of you. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, oh my goodness, we're getting closer to that, shall dream dreams. Okay, I'm going to share a dream, but I wasn't that old. It was 30 years ago. Shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. Okay? Ask the Lord to show you visions, brother. Amen. Ask the Lord. He'll open it up to you. Amen. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And here we go now. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. My goodness, if that's natural, and I'm not saying that there's not a natural element here, that's pretty bad. That's pretty destructive. Pillars of smoke. Do you ever see pictures of the atom and hydrogen bombs going off? What they are is pillars of smoke. Just like a mushroom. The sun shall be turned into the darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord is come. I thought that would be part of the great and terrible day. No, he says before the great and terrible day. This is going to be the prelude to the great and terrible day of the Lord. I have been quoting Isaiah for 2 days. Now let us go and read Isaiah chapter 60. So that you know that what I said was truly in the Word. It says, arise and shine. This is a commandment. This isn't whether I feel like rising. You know, I don't always feel like rising. Any of you like that? You find a nice comfortable place on the couch and the phone rings. And the phone is not where you are. But rise. We have to rise. We have to rise up out of our slothfulness. We have to rise up out of our comfort zone. Amen? And not only that, he says for us to shine. That means you're going to have to let some light come out. You're going to have to do it. You have to make a decision to do it. Let us suppose that you're working for a company and you meet the public a lot. And you have your natural disposition is that you're sour and you're unpleasant and you're grumpy. But you're meeting customers, and the customers are complaining to the boss and saying, you know, I like doing business here, but that employee of yours, she is just rotten. I mean, she's got a terrible disposition. And so the boss calls her in and says, look, okay, the job that you're doing here, you're doing okay as far as what you're doing with your hands. But you're going to have to do something about your attitude with your customers. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to learn how to smile. You're going to have to learn how to say nice things when they say unnice things to you, because you are representing the company. So you are going to have to shine. Whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it, you can say you're going to have to put on an act. I don't care. I want my customers to know that I'm not dealing with a sour, grumpy old... what?
Grinch.
Grinch. Yeah, there you go. Grinch. Whatever. So, yes, you can tell your employee to do that. God is saying for his children, his sons, you're going to have to put some shine on, okay? You're going to have to let that light out. This idea of you being a silent witness is going to have to come to an end. You're going to have to open your mouth and say something. The countenance on your face is going to have to reveal something of the presence and manifestation of the Spirit of God that is within you. Amen. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Who is your light? Jesus. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So the glory is upon you. All right? And if you go to, this is Old Testament, if you want to go over into the New Testament to Romans chapter 8, is not just upon you, but within you. The glory of the Lord is in you. Amen? Moses had the shine upon him. We've got more than that. We've got the glory within us because we've got Jesus Christ. Amen? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Amen? And gross darkness, the people. So the carnal realm is dark, but the people, the souls of people, is even worse. The people of the world. Amen? Gross darkness. That means great. I mean, that's a good German word there, too, by the way. Gross. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, isn't this is repeated three times in these two verses of the glory of the Lord being on you. And it and like I said, this is Old Testament before Jesus, with Jesus. It's not just on you, it's in you. So there's no excuse. It has to come forth. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians, that'll be the last, and then I'll share the dream after that. 1 Thessalonians. Oh my, I could just spend a whole day on this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But I'll have to give you a whirlwind tour here. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Is that true for us too? You really don't need me to tell you of the times and seasons that we're in. You've heard the word. You've been under the message, the end time message, the kingdom message. You've been hearing that long enough that you don't really need me to tell you that these are the times and seasons that we're in. Amen? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. How many witnesses do we need? We've heard it from Peter. We're hearing it from Paul in Thessalonians. And we heard it from Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. No, 25. Matthew chapter 25. That he's coming as a thief in the night. Okay? So here's the second, here's the third witness. Amen? For when they shall say... All right, now notice the contrast between they and you. There's a contrast. Now I know a lot of people, a lot of preachers even, do not like this idea that God is making a difference here between his own and those that are not his own. Well, isn't that being rather exclusionistic? This one preacher says to me. Yes, it's exclusionistic. God is saying, they will be here, but you will be there. They will say, what? They will say, peace and safety. In other words, they will believe the program of the UN. They will believe the program of the candidate for president. They will believe thus and thus. They will believe the senators. We're going to have peace and safety, you know. And they're going to believe that they will, that their military, their armies, their whatever, will actually be able to accomplish it. Amen. You know what? You could go. We could send the most mighty army in the world against and totally annihilate Iran, totally annihilate North Korea, totally annihilate Somalia or wherever it is that the most wicked, vile people of this world. You know what? You wouldn't get peace and safety because you wouldn't be killing the devil. You'd just be wiping out a bunch of men. So they will say peace and safety. Amen. But then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, they shall not escape. There's a couple women here that know something about what it's like to have travail come suddenly with child. Comes quite suddenly, doesn't it? Yeah? I mean, this is something I'm going to have to depend on others for experience. I will never experience this. But I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen delivery. Okay? Yeah. Part of my nurse's training, I had to go in the delivery room and, you know, see the whole process. We had to be prepared. One of my jobs in Alaska, I had to be prepared just in case I had to do delivery. I tried to get them on the airplane and get them down to the hospital in time. But anyway, we had to be prepared. And the thing would come suddenly without notice, okay? Well, there may be a little notice. Okay. But it says, it will come suddenly and they will not escape. Now, the word of God, the songs that we sang this morning, there is a place of escape for us. But they will not escape. There's a contrast. And it says, but ye brethren are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light. Amen. And the children of the day, and by the way, that word children doesn't mean children, it means sons. If you want the literal word here in the Greek, the literal word here, you are sons of the day and sons of light. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us, this is us again, therefore, not sleep as do others they. Let us not be like they, others. But let us watch and be sober. Sober means what?
Self-controlled.
Okay. Self-controlled. What else?
Alert.
And you can't be sober if you're drunk. Now, we're talking about you if you're taking in doctrines of drunkenness and this type of thing. The doctrines that say you don't need to worry about anything, you're all going to be raptured away, you're all going to be eventually saved. Those are doctrines that you cannot be sober if you're drinking those doctrines. Amen? For they that sleep in the night. See, we're talking about spiritual condition now. And they that are drunken in the night. Just like I said before, when do the bars run? They run at night. They run well into, you know, as the morning light begins to come, the bars are all finished off, you know. The last drunk has finished his drinking. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there again is, you see, Thessalonians is written to people who are saved, and Paul is saying that you can obtain salvation. So there's a finishing of your salvation here. Amen? So let me finish, and I'm going to, this is all I'm going to say about the darkness, and I want to read this dream that I had. Is there any question, by the way, before I go to this? Anybody that has anything they'd like to ask? Okay. So, if you were here almost 30 years ago, you might have heard me share this. So I'm going to read it just the way I have it written. Okay. Probably the most awesome and fearsome dream I can remember is the one that came to me at 6 a.m. on the morning of May 2, 1988. You're probably the only one that was around then yet.
I don't remember.
I was working as a consultant at the Amsterdam Nursing Home and Hospital. We were beginning to understand end time truths, and apparently God didn't want me to take it lightly. I was just about to come out of a deeper night's sleep when the following vision of the night appeared to me. I was standing in an office building on the top floor looking out the large windows that faced the west. In the nearby offices, men were doing their business at their desks. Women were applying their word processing and secretarial skills at other smaller desks. As I looked to the west in the distance, I could see coming toward us the most awful darkness I had ever seen. It was coming at what I believed to be about the speed of sound. Simultaneously, the earth was erupting as a rolling earthquake was coming in at the same speed. It was so strong, it was throwing houses and trees up in the air with a terrible violence. What came to me at the time was, if you had if the whole earth was a carpet and somebody was pulling a huge log or something through that with a violence, it would just throw everything up in the air. It would be like, it was really an earthquake. It was a terrible, terrible, and the darkness, I could see dark coming in, and it came in at the speed of a jet plane coming in. And these jet planes fly at the speed of sound, but you can see them coming. You can see them coming. You can see sound, something coming at the speed of sound. Okay, let me look out. So there was a terrible violence. I called out, "Look!" as I pointed to the window. The women that were nearby shrieked in terror. They realized in an instant what was happening. Realizing that there was no way I could escape, I turned my back to the window and found myself in the front of the building. The violence having passed, I did not look back to see the damage. I awoke, trembling, literally shaking. Literally, I mean, my bed was shaking. It was so real, I believed it had actually happened. It was, in fact, so authentic that I called my insurance agent to add earthquake insurance to my house. I really believe it. Amen. That morning, I went to the hospital and went immediately to the fifth floor where the administrative offices were. I stared out the west window, but it did not look the same as I had seen in the dream. Then I went over to the nursing home, which was further west, and I asked the maintenance director to take me up on the roof. So I was the administrator, you know, so he'd take me wherever I asked him to go, you know. While he was showing me the air handling vents, I was paying more attention to the view to the west. It didn't look the same. In the course of time, I came to realize that this was a spiritual, not a natural dream. I saw the coming of gross spiritual darkness and the great shaking of the earthy carnal realm. In a few weeks, I would be traveling to Illinois to a conference. I was certainly primed now to listen to the end time word that was coming forth. So this is how God got me ready to hear the message. Part of the message that I'm preaching to you today. God bless you.